It's been a long time, Ben.
Holy shit, it's been a long time.
I looked through my Skype because I only use Skype when I'm talking with you for the podcast. And my recent calls, or I shouldn't say calls, but I go through my address book, and that's how I find Ben. And it's all like these crypto people that have added me to things. I've got Binance community, I've got Extraordinary Club, I've got three people talking to me on live with some random, I don't know. Like, I don't know any of these people, but I haven't used Skype for any other reason. So this is what
What
happens.
was it? March 19th,
It
I
sounds like
think, was
it.
the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Few things have changed since then.
Man, it's been a busy time, yeah.
I think Zach Savage joined the team before or
Yeah.
after.
When did Zach join? It was probably spring. I think it was Crowder Cup. It was that weekend when we announced him. And we had a little intro video at one of the parties that weekend. Yeah, Zach's been amazing, man. Like, I've spoken with Zach over the years. He's in Portland now, but he was in Detroit.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember he was a younger kid and just asking about frames, wanted to try them. And for whatever reason, I'm usually pretty good. Like, if somebody's got potential, I would, don't say this out loud, but I would most likely just send him a pair of frames, and especially if he comes recommended by somebody. And I can't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure that our friend Jeremy, who is also in Detroit, I asked Jeremy who this guy was because I didn't know him. It was like 3 years ago. And Jeremy was like, yeah, Zach's totally legit, good dude. And I probably just dropped the ball. But he reached out again last year, I think, and was just, interested. Like, I think he got to that point where, like most, you start getting to approached by different sponsors, and you're like, what other products could I endorse, right? What other teams could I be a part of? And he didn't have a frame sponsor. And he was just looking out, and he was like, I want to try them. Like, what do you recommend? What's the difference between, like, actually showing interest and in learning what the differences was between each of the frames that we make and which one's best for the way that he likes to skate. And I sent him a bunch just to test out, and he really liked them. He
That's
actually was
awesome.
one of the few guys that bent a pair of prime frames. So he got one. Yeah, he got one of them. I think he was getting a large pair, and he came off because he goes pretty big.
Yeah,
And he came
he
off
definitely
of like,
can.
yeah, it was like a 5 or a 9 or something big. And he maybe landed a little bit, not perfectly, like a little bit over rotation or under rotation or whatever. And I think that it just bent towards like the toe. So like a little bit off angle. I've seen Chris do it for Chris Farmer. He broke one like that before as well. And it's like, that's probably the weakest spot. Like, if you come off a little bit off center, it's definitely possible to bend the frame a little bit up there. Which is why we have, a lifetime warranty on the cores. So easy enough for us to just send out new cores and swap out your walls and you're back up and running. But I was really impressed that he was able to bend it, and I was like, all right, so
No
he's like
kidding.
good at testing stuff, good at like giving feedback, and like end of the day, really good communication, like tells me when he needs something, tells me what he's up to, and he posts great stuff all the time. Like,
Yeah, he does.
he's that new level of like skater that thinks Instagram and video and clips before anything. And that's not something that everybody has. Like, it comes naturally to him. Like, he doesn't go out and film. It's just whenever he's skating, he's filming. And it's like, it's just a thing that he does whenever. I'm sure he goes out and skates without a camera, but it's like he just gets into that mode. And he's really good about vision for what a video would look like. And he's got a good group that support him for filming. He worked with this guy Max that I don't know, but I just met, over the last couple of weeks working on that Red promo. He does amazing work. And to have him, be able to shoot Zach and really put together just a really cool little edit. It was a thing that, we've only done pro frames in the past, and I wanted to move away from doing just pro frames. I wanted to just do colors, and this was an opportunity for a few skaters to make little videos. So Zach's was the last one. But we also had the one with Rob Kellett, and there was one with Becky Sotelo as well. So all three of them put edits together, skating the red frames, which I thought was really, really cool. It's such a cool color too. Like, it's such a 50, when you think of 50-50, like, it's black and red are like the main colors that we've always been kind of known for. So not having a red balance frame was just kind of inevitable to bring one out.
Oh, absolutely. And that's always, just like you're saying, like, bright colors, specifically for me, I remember black and yellow the most. Red and yellow the most.
Red and
because
yellow,
you had, like, the old, you know, red frame, and then you had the yellow Julio frames and
the
stuff like
Julios,
that.
The yellow Julios, yeah.
Yeah, and that was always something that I was like, yep, one of these days I'll have a yellow frame.
Yeah. I love the colors with a black boot or with a gray boot. And I think both of those, they look great with white, but with a black boot or a gray boot, they just look so good. Like, any bright color. I bet a blue would look really good as well, like a Randy Spicer, like the ones that you had.
Yeah.
Something bright. I just love bright colors, especially for frames. I love bright wheels as well. Bright boots is just a little too much. Like,
yeah, there's a lot more color.
Yeah, it's like if you look at the quantity of color, like, the boot takes up, you know, 70% of the color, and it's like, that can't, it has to be an accent, you know. A little bright color accent on a boot is fine, but you can't have the bright, like, the color shouldn't be that bright of the boot, in my opinion. Obviously people are different, but I think from a sales perspective, you know, blacks and grays and dark colors are really the way to go for boots, and then bright is the way to go for wheels and frames. Black and white are always, you know, going to be popular, but I love bright colors for frames.
Oh, I agree 100%. And for wheels, so, like, I've got my Stefan wheels and my magenta pink fucking Justin Thursday walls. So I'm on board. I definitely understand that.
It's fun.
And the more I keep talking about, or the more I talked about, you know, gold skate and everything like that, like, part of me is like, maybe I don't really need that.
I mean, you get what you wish for, right? Yeah.
I mean, if it were to happen, I don't think I could contain my excitement.
What you should do, and I think the gold, you know, thank you, Sam, for all of the work, but the work.
Absolutely. They're sitting right next to me right now.
It is ridiculous. Like,
it is.
It was never meant as
it makes me so happy, though.
Just like the Argons
Andrew
made. Yeah. Yep. Who lives in North Carolina now. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's
yeah.
How close is he to you?
He is about 30 minutes. Oh. He came by to skate with the, I think he picked up a pair of Omni as well.
Came
by to skate at the Crowder event, and he was skating on the mini ramp with everybody. It was amazing. Like, I think that's actually when he came by to try them on. He had messaged me a while back. I think from work he got relocated, or maybe he was. Remember, he was in Nashville, and he had that hurricane come through. It's bad hurricane seasons in this area lately. But he had that hurricane come through, and it kind of wiped out his whole, like, kombucha business and the people that he was renting with. Like, that whole area got destroyed. And didn't the skate shop there get destroyed as well? What was that called?
Asphalt Beach.
Asphalt Beach. There you go.
Yeah.
I think they're back. But he, I think, moved careers at that time. And the company that he works for moved him out to the Triangle. So, you know, our area, I don't remember what city specifically, but it's a bit of a drive from the warehouse. And he was doing a bad, like, commute for a while when the family was still living in Nashville. But now I think they're all in North Carolina. So I need to reach out after this, now that I remember about it. But those Argons that he made for you, they were never designed for you to skate. They were like, this is an amazing thing, and you should have them on your wall. But realistically, like, they're to look at. you know what I mean?
And I look at them every day. Every time I come out of my garage, I look at them. They're fantastic. Make me smile every time I see them.
See, we need things that people could put on the wall and smile. Like, it doesn't have to always be something that you skate and that you wear down. It can be something that you just enjoy looking at, enjoy holding.
Couldn't agree more. And I love looking at those. And the, what are the speedsters that Mark sent me?
Mm.
The, I've got my UFRs up there that I need to put on Blade Trade. Seriously.
Are they the white one? No. Yeah, they're the white ones, right?
No, they're the first edition black.
Oh, the first blacks. Yeah.
Yes, before I wanted the white ones. And then the last time that I skated them, I was like, oh, I need to do something different. These aren't as great as they used to be. Well, also, I think my feet widened out a little bit from wearing slightly wider sneakers.
Sure.
So I think I'm just going to stick with my Omnis and my SLs that Joey sent me. Thank you again, Joey.
Yeah. I think the SLs, you were great in the SLs.
They were really good. I'm also going to try the Reigns that are in those, in the Omnis.
Yeah. I think it's a little thinner, thinner liner.
Yeah. And one thing that I didn't think was going to happen, the Intuitions kind of squished my feet a little bit in the SLs. I was really surprised at that when I skated SLs again with the Intuitions.
Yeah.
I was very surprised by that.
Intuition's interesting. So did you see that they have a Intuition them like specific
version for the 909? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny. There's one guy in particular. I don't know if John listens to this, but anything that he's skating is the greatest thing that's ever existed.
Okay.
So when he was skating Shadows, Shadows were the greatest thing that ever existed, and he had like two giant totes full of Shadow parts. Then he sold all that off and then went to V13s, and the V13s were the greatest thing that's ever been made. Two giant totes of V13 shit, sold all that when them came out, and then is now skating nothing but 909s and creates. So, I mean, he skates well in them, so I can't say that he's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, SL seem to work really well for me, and hopefully the Omnis do the next time I get to take them out. Or when I get to take them out, which I'm going to try to do before it starts getting too cold.
Yeah. See what they feel like. And
I told you about the skate park in Ocean City, right?
Yes. Now it's Blade Trade.
They changed
friendly,
the rules.
Right?
I can skate there now.
Yeah, exactly.
Without having to start arguments.
You definitely need to get out there. I will say that we have the new skates coming. And you probably should wait for those because they're going to be a little bit more forgiving. So from a fit perspective, the one thing that I wish we could have figured out before we shipped our first V1 skate was some people's feet are different than others. And that's something that you don't really have to worry about if you're designing a frame or a wheel. Because you know, a 58 millimeter wheel is a 58 millimeter wheel. It's always going to be 24 millimeters across, 58 millimeters tall, and some sort of a profile.
Yep.
The bearings are always going to be the same. The way that it mounts is always going to be the same. You don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter what frame you put it on. It's always going to be a 58 millimeter wheel.
Absolutely.
But a size 42 foot is not the same
as
somebody else's 42. Yeah. So our V2 is a different material for the boot. It's more of an aggressive material. It's a similar material to what most skate companies use for their aggressive boots. And it's a lot more forgiving. So there's a little bit more room inside for whatever reason, the way that the material shrinks maybe, gives it a little bit more, like a couple millimeters of length and width. So it's going to be a little bit more spacious in there.
Okay.
And around the ankles, especially where people were having some issues with it pinching a little bit too much, all of that's alleviated. Like, we've had people who couldn't skate V1s because of the pinching. Like, they loved the skates, but they had to stop after, you know, a couple of weeks because it kept hurting. They've been skating those V2 samples all summer and they haven't had any issues. So that is really reassuring. That is one of those things that, being a brand new skate company, on paper, we can design the perfect skate. But until we get it on everybody's feet, it's really hard to design the perfect skate. Like, you just don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I agree 100%. And, I mean, aesthetically, I think you guys did a fantastic job.
Hmm.
you know, it's a gorgeous skate. So with the stiffness of the V1s, mm-hmm. how would that compare to the UFRs?
UFRs, I think, use the same material as we used in the V1.
Okay. Okay.
Which is a similar material to what they use in ski boots. And a ski boot is not supportive, but not forgiving, right? Yeah. So if your foot fits perfectly in there, it's great. And that was our downfall for V1, in my opinion, that it fit my foot perfectly. And I feel great. And yeah. there's, you know, a bunch of people out there who absolutely love the V1s and they work perfectly, but that's not everybody. So we're trying to make a skate that everybody can get along with. And with a ski boot, what they usually recommend is they put your foot in there and then you bring it to a ski shop and they'll punch out areas that you're having pressure points, right?
Yeah.
So they'll exactly. use like heat or they'll use a little puncher and move that ski material around to open it up in areas that people are having like tightness.
Yep.
That is a great solution for Omni V1. I've had a few people go out there and punch out their Omni V1s and it works perfectly, but that's not a norm for rollerblading. That's yeah. a norm for skiing.
Absolutely. And
that's a problem. You know, I want to make sure that these are good out of the box for anybody to just put them on. It might not be as supportive, as responsive as the V1 is, but it's going to be more of an aggressive skate that everybody can get into. And then, you know, maybe V3, V4, we bring back something that's a little bit less forgiving, but a little bit more responsive. Like now that we've got the molds, we can experiment with a ton of different materials, different hardnesses, different flex, different styles of material, and, you know, just see what people like. Like I love the experimentation of it. You got to play around with different plastics to see what you like and then figure out what other people like. And yeah, now I think the hard part is done. We've got a skate that works. It looks great. It works really well. Now we just got to figure out what's the right flex in the format that that everybody's going to enjoy. That's going to take some time.
For sure. For sure. I would imagine, have you guys looked into like dual density type stuff? But with the boot being one density and then the cuff being something softer or harder.
So we've tested about 6 different formulas for V2. And okay. our first thought was, well, let's try a flexier cuff. And the cuff really should be close to the same flex as the shell. And the reason is you get this really weird disjointed feeling when the cuff flexes more than the shell.
Makes
if
sense.
The cuff were stiffer, that might be better, but then that messes with the support issue. So it's kind of this, like, I know that razors used to have a multitude of different cuffs and they would release them in different flexes, which was super, super interesting
yeah.
for experimentation. We've tried that and we didn't really like the results. If anything, you know, if you're adding, you know, stiffness to a boot, if you want the stiffness to be at a 50, you want the shell to be at a 50, you want the cuff to be like a 55 or maybe a 45. You know, you want it to be in the same kind of range
like
as
the
shell itself. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Not to say that we would never do a different flex for the cuff. If we found the formula that worked well, I mean, by all means, like we're all about experimenting and, you know, this is where the feedback really helps. We're going to do something a little more public with our feedback in the future. More stuff that I'll announce in the next couple of weeks. But I want to make sure that we're capturing all of the people's thoughts and like what they like, what they don't like about the skate so that we can keep making improvements. Because again, our sample size to begin with was me. You know, yeah. the first version, like we were in production by the time the team got their first skates. So
wow.
it was shaped around my desires. This one is shaped around their desires. This is the skate that they want. And now it's like, well, how can we make the skate that everybody wants? And the only way to do that is get feedback from everybody based on the two different skates. Like, have you skated V1? Have you skated V2? What do you like about this? What do you like about this? Let's see if we can find something in the middle ground. Let's see what people like. Of course, it's data. It's end of the day, our decision on what the skates are going to be. Like, we're not going to let, you know, the customer isn't always right. You know what I mean? I want to hear it. You know, I want to hear if this is better. I want to hear if this is something that you like, because it's hard to get, maybe, I don't know, as an engineer, the whole process of working on a team with writing code is you go through a process to get code into the main like project, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we do pull requests. So what that means is we use source code management. As you work on a project, you grab the source code of the project and you make a copy of it, basically, and you work on your copy, and then you submit back the changes that you made. So instead of just saying this is the single version of code and everybody needs to use this, we all take a copy of it, and then we just add back to the main version the code that we changed. So if you're just changing the color of a button on the web page, there's no reason to just have the whole code. You could just return just that color change and say, this is the new color. When you do that in a good organization, you have what's called a pull request. So you can say, this is what I want to do. Here's the code and here's what it does. And then other people will review it and say, this is good, this is bad, or you should try this, or have you done this? Putting yourself out there to get feedback and to provide feedback is something that I've had to work on over the years, and it's made me a really good developer, but not everybody is good about providing feedback. In blading, you get the opposite. So either they're really good about shitting all over you, or they're really bad and they don't say anything when they like it or they don't like it. You know, they'll sing your praises even though there are things that are nagging them, but yeah, they don't want to say it because they don't want to hurt your feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's like, how do you tease that feedback out so that you can improve things? Because, I mean, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but a lot of skate companies just ship whatever and they don't really listen to feedback. Not mm-hmm. all skate companies, but a lot of skate companies. They just do what they think is right. And a lot of times they are right.
Yeah,
I want to listen to what people need. Like, we're trying to make this skate great. And again, the only way we can make that skate great is by getting feedback from skaters. And, you know, did this fix the problem? Well, okay, let's see if we can do it better in the next one. Like, I need to know these things. So the change from V1 to V2, huge change. It's completely different skate. If you haven't tried V1, wait. I would say V1 is on sale now. We're blowing them out to get rid of them so that we can make room on the shelves for V2. But V2 is a completely different skate. It is worth your time to try it. It will skate like an aggressive skate that you are expecting to skate. And Ben, the reason why I started this conversation is I think that you should wait for V2. I think that will give you a more expected feeling when you're out skating. I think you should save your V1s as your wizard setup. The stiffness that you get with V1, really, really nice with a big wheel setup, especially as it's completely flat. You take off that sole plate and just ride the frame mounted directly to the boot. It's one of the better, I mean, it's probably the best plastic skate. It's one of the better wizard setups out there, including getting on that level of the Seba CJs. Like, wow, it's a really, really good experience. I will preface that by saying the bigger the wheels, the more noticeable it is that it's not
a carbon skate. Yeah,
right, exactly.
Well, I mean,
and there's no 45 degree strap. So those two things combined are a issue, but at, you know, what, 230 boot only, it's a pretty difficult deal to pass up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like a 45 degree strap is easy to add. I've seen a ton of people do it with a ton of different stuff. And I mean, really at this point, the only big wheels that I'm really interested in are 72s and 76s.
Yep.
And really the biggest I'd want to go is those new Compass 90s. And that's kind of where I was taking this.
Yep.
So like, I knew you were working on that. I didn't know how close you were to launching.
Yeah.
By the time I was able to look at the website, the white and the black, mm-hmm. just the frames and the bundles are all sold out. So if I want a pair,
moved quick.
I got to go with the red ones, which I don't have a problem with. It's a good looking red.
We just got them in stock. Okay. So the initial drop sold out really quick. We've been trying something new, which I don't know if we'll continue to do, but because summer was pretty light for me, we haven't done any Chroma releases in a while. We didn't do any new Compass releases in a while. We didn't even do 50/50 releases in a while. It was all standard because I just had no time to do anything else. Trying to get this V2 sorted has been, you know, taken over all of my time.
Yeah.
But to make up for lost time, usually what we do with production is everything gets made at a factory, either in China or South Korea, and we ship product by ocean to our warehouse, and then we'll ship out to shops. I typically get a box of samples after production is done, sent by FedEx. Cost me a couple $100, and I have photos, you know, wheels for photos. I can send wheels to team so that they can do testing. I can send frames to team so that they can do promo and stuff like that. Like, that's like our promo box is a small shipment.
Okay.
With the Compass, I did a, and with the red frames, I did a small drop of a box of each of the colors air shipped. So I said, you know what? I don't want to wait any longer. I want to catch some of the summer sales. Mm-hmm. And let's bring all of these frames in, you know, a limited amount, you know, I think 20 to a box, bring those in and have those available for sale.
And so is that why so many of the new Balance frames don't have quote unquote pro logos on?
No, different reason. Okay.
We can get into that later.
Yeah. The pro logos are just the thing that we decided wasn't as successful as I had hoped. I think maybe it's with the way that we implemented it. The logos are a little big. And I liked it, but it doesn't work for everybody. And honestly, the frames kind of stand alone by themselves. They don't really need the logo. We still do the same royalties on the frames, and the color is still speaking to the pro. Like, that's not a knock on the skater. It's a knock on the design choice. You know, putting the logo on a frame, it just isn't the right way to, at least the way that we implemented it, isn't the right way to really honor the skater. I think the color itself is all that is really needed, and just promote that skater as the, you know, this frame is associated with the skater.
Okay.
This that color makes sense. Is associated with the skater, sorry. But no, the air shipments, it was just a thing. The red frame, I didn't want to do a signature frame for. It was a thing that we wanted to bring in. And looking at the existing team, you know, there's a few skaters that love red frames, but I didn't really want to do another pro frame anytime soon. But I wanted to bring out a red frame, and it just, you know, timing was good. The Compass frames, though, so it was just a limited stock. We just got our big shipment in on Thursday of this week. No, Wednesday of this week. So we've had them in a couple of days. I'm shipping to the shops now. But the first, you know, set, we shipped out anybody who ordered them direct, and then anybody who wanted them as shops. And funny enough, with the 90s, I've already had shops reorder, which is a really, really good sign, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, like, I would say it's probably one of the better sizes for big wheels, especially for people that aren't as familiar with them, because like you still have plenty of top speed, still have plenty of stability. You've got the extra length. So people like, I think that's good for about a size 12 and below.
Yeah.
When you get down to like the fun sizes, like Jeremy Troyer size,
it's just too,
it's a little on the long side. Yeah. I think like a 72 would probably be better for someone with a shoe like that or a foot like that size.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, could he still rock out on a 90? Sure. Yeah, absolutely could. But
it's just the wrong length. I think that's the problem. When we design frames, the minimum baseline is just take three wheels and multiply the size of the wheel by three. Mm-hmm. So a 4x90 frame, the minimum is 270 wheelbase.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, you need a millimeter between the wheels. So 273 to be realistic. Our frames are 275 at a minimum and 281 at the longest. Is that right? 277 at a minimum, 281 at the longest. And that's because they're rockerable by 2 millimeters in and out. So if you went all in, you would subtract 4 millimeters. If you went all out, you would add 4 millimeters.
So when you rocker them out, does that change the height?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And is it just the outside wheels that are rockerable? Is it all four?
All four. And they're rockerable in four directions. So up, down, left, right. So if you wanted the lowest ride possible, you would rocker them all up. It would almost rub on your boot, and it would be the middle wheelbase. So it would be a 279, which is the middle wheelbase. If you wanted a slightly shorter wheelbase, but you still wanted to skate flat, you could rocker the first wheel back, the last wheel forward, right? So in, and then you'd rocker the middle wheels either in or out. It didn't matter. Just don't do up and down. And that would make the shortest wheelbase possible, but it would be a millimeter taller than it would need to be. Does that make sense?
It yeah, because you could make it short. You could make frame shorter
By going up. But
yeah, but to accommodate the rocker. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
And I put a few recipes on our website. So there's also an Instagram post that explains all of the different rockering options. The ones that I've found work really well, I really like the 1 mil rocker. And the way that I have it is I think I have the middle wheels out and the outside wheels up. So it creates this 1 millimeter rocker. It's a really low ride, and it gives me just enough wiggle so I can skate and feel like I'm not in like a train track feeling. I did try what I call a hockey rocker, which is when back wheel, the back wheel is back, the middle wheels are down, and then the first wheel is up. So you get a 2 millimeter rocker from the first wheel to the second wheel, and a 1 millimeter rocker from the third wheel to the fourth wheel, and the second and third wheel are flat. So it gives you this really like 1 millimeter rocker, but you've got a toe that's really tall and raised up. So it's almost like you're skating on three wheels most of the time. It's a really, really fun ride.
That sounds terrifying for me, so I would not be trying that. But
you got to try it. That's the beauty of the frame, that I wanted to see what the rocker was all about. Because there are a lot of 90mm frames out there, but they're all fairly, first of all, aluminum. I don't think there's another plastic 90mm frame. Not that it's UFS. You have the flex frames that are Trinity. But I don't think you have a plastic 90mm frame.
I can't think of one.
Yeah. But either they're a 1mm rocker, or they're a Wizard natural rocker, or they're completely flat. Those are the three options. I don't think there's a rockerable option out there. And I was like, well, what's the difference? Because I really liked the Kaiser 90s, but I don't think everybody wants the Kaiser 90s. Like, a little bit of a rocker is good, but some people like that flat feeling, which is like the Sola 90s. Yeah. Those are a flat one. Which one is best? And I was like, well, I don't know. I got to make them. And I also wanted to test to see, because the Compass 80s are a really successful frame. Like, everybody loves the Compass 80s. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see if I can make a bigger plastic frame. Because one of the issues that people see with the Compass 80s, although they are light, they are not as solid as an aluminum frame would be. You know, it's obviously a plastic frame.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's cheaper. It's designed to just put big wheels on your aggressive skate and go out there and have fun. But it's not replacing, you know, a PR80 or anything like that anytime soon.
Yeah, for sure. Like I was able to learn how to do wheel slides in the Compass 80 frames. Like, I didn't have any issue with it.
Oh, they're great frames.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. It was a fantastic frame to ride. I've always felt that 90, for me, not like a 4x90 was one of the premier options. Yeah. And like, I remember you talking about, you know, a potential 90mm frame with rockering ability. And I was like, color me intrigued.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I'm looking at the website with your little rocker recipes, and I'm actually really excited.
Yeah, well, I'll get you a pair really now that cool we got them idea. In. And I think, yeah, black with black wheels would be sweet on those gold skates. It's really good for your Omnis. I skate them with the Omni. I skate with the Intuition Premiums. Oh, we didn't even talk about them Intuitions, but
yeah,
the Intuition Premiums, I love the Premiums in the Omni, but I have to take off the ankle wrap because it's too much.
Yeah,
like it
too
feels
much.
Like, yeah, it feels like it just is it. And maybe if it were an aggressive skate with more of a flexi cuff, that ankle wrap would be more supportive.
Yeah,
but with the Omni, I can't make it work. Not the tuitions that came with them, but the new ones, looks like it's designed for the skate. Like it's got that cutout area so that it sits nicely into the little recess area of the shell. It has the same, well, it, on paper, it says that it has the same volume at length, width, height, like all that, as the internals of the shell, which means it's basically the feeling of skating a carbon boot or a, a carbon free boot that has that interior padding, but not a removable liner. But now you have a removable liner. Absolutely love it. I think, I don't know how that partnership started with them and Intuition, but I'm really glad to see that it isn't just a, like the FR Intuition was just kind of a one and done sort of thing. You can tell that they're going, like the Danny Beer was a really cool looking one. The Basement one was a really cool looking one. Like they're trying to progress the designs for the Intuitions and then now having one that's specifically made for their skate. I love that. I think that's, I mean, that's what we should be doing, you know? Like,
I agree 100%.
I don't think there's a liner. I get why MyFit are popular. I get why Intuition V2s are popular. But I don't know that a liner should be generic. Like, a liner should be designed for a specific boot. Because that's how, like, every boot's a little different, right?
Yep, and that's how you get the dial best performance.
That's exactly it. So they've done it. I mean, and I think other skate companies have tried in the past. But I don't know if there's ever been a, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be, aside from maybe the Adapt Super Leggera, I don't know that there's been a liner designed for a specific boot.
Argons?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, back in the days, I guess you're right. And I don't know if they were designed for the boot or if they were just, this is the skate company, this is the boot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it might not have had that high level of precision. Like I would argue the Salomon liners are notoriously some of the best liners ever.
Yes.
Were they designed just for the boot? I don't know. Like they didn't come out and say it. They were just liners and they were really good liners.
Yeah. Well, also like the, I feel like the interior contours of a Salomon are fairly basic because it just seems like it's just like a space for you to put your foot in.
Right.
Whereas like nowadays people are starting to see that you can do different things with, you know, the cuff wings above in front of the cuff bolt and then back of the cuff bolt and everything. And that, I thought, when I saw pictures on Facebook, because that's the only social media I have anymore. I deleted everything else. we'll talk about that offline. but when I saw the pictures of the padding, the ankle padding and the liner match up perfectly with the shell, I was like, that is such a cool idea.
So smart.
Yeah, and it's nice that it's actually made for that shell, because there was people that were trying to tell me that my Intuitions wouldn't work in other skates because they're made specifically for them skates.
Right.
And I'm like, go fuck yourself. That's definitely not the case.
Yeah. I mean, technically they were made for the skates, but that doesn't mean that they don't work in other skates.
Exactly.
These are made for those skates.
Yeah.
And they probably won't work in other skates. Yeah. Like maybe they will, obviously.
Not very well. But
yeah, exactly.
I would imagine it's optimized for this skate. Exactly. Right. Which makes me think, like, would that work? Would that be backwards compatible with the 908?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know how much they changed about those cuff wings.
Yeah, I would assume not. I don't know that you can find 908s out there anymore.
I always assume that John was going to keep those around as a budget option. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that says it won't happen.
It definitely could. I don't know that. The them, and I don't, I have to dance a little lighter now with the skate company, but understood. I don't know that John as a brand owner wants to be in the budget market.
Yeah, yeah, you know? I would agree with that. I would definitely agree.
If you look at that, what was that new Colt that came out?
Yeah, the level one?
Level one or whatever. Yeah. $170. Dude.
You're not beating that. No one's going to beat that price.
Like, nobody's coming out with a skate that price. Like, that's Majestic 12 territory.
Yeah, like that's old Majestic 12.
Play Life Bronx territory, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you've been using the same shell for fucking 30 years and, you know.
Doesn't it come with a new soul plate, though?
Yeah. But that's, that, like, I feel like wild. That's easier to make than a new shell.
Oh, I'm sure it is. It is not the crazy price as a shell, obviously.
Yeah, sorry.
$170, though? Come on.
That's a wild price. And, like, that price kind of makes me want to buy a pair just to see if they're any different.
Yeah.
And kind of just to have them. And then it's just like, I don't need to spend $170 on something that I... That yeah. I really don't need.
Yeah, that it just because be they're cool on sale, it doesn't mean I need to buy them. That's always what I tell myself.
Yeah. Oh, utility knives. If I find utility knives like Home Depot or Lowe's and they're on sale and they're like $3 or $4 or less, I'll buy them for sure.
How many do you have now?
Too many. Too many. But I have favorites. I definitely have favorites.
Well, there you go.
We don't have to get into that. I talk about stuff like that with Mike Falcone.
Yeah. So. Anyway, yes, I would say. Them doesn't have any interest in being in the sub $200 game. Just like I don't, to be completely fair. I don't want to sell a skate that's under $200 because I don't think that I can sell a quality skate for that price.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. And I think John did the perfect move with refining that boot and turning it into the 909 and, you know, still had some semblance of the 908 to make it familiar. Yep. Mm-hmm. But then
same sole plates.
Yeah. Yeah, same sole plates, like a couple of details are pretty much the same, but made it immediately recognizable as something that John designed and put out, but made it premium at the same time. Because when he announced that, I was like, how the fuck is Alexander Broskow going to skate a 908 that's going to look like shit? But, I mean,
start somewhere.
Exactly, yes, yes.
I think he did everything that he could. With the 908 to make it not look like the Anarchy skate, you know?
Yeah, and like he did a great job of that.
Yeah, removing those things. But it was still, I mean, the lacing fingers was definitely a look that is not... Like, could you imagine a new 910 or whatever coming out with lacing fingers like the 908? Like, that's not a design... Yeah, that's not a design aesthetic that I think he was into. Like, the 909 is such a clean... like classic look to it. I don't know that having a 908 in the lineup would do anything, bring any benefit to him, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it feels like he gets 10 pairs of shipment and he only sells them in store. But even then,
you could see selling them 80s with the 908 shell. If that was a compatible option.
Yeah.
And putting those in as a fitness style skate, you could land those for $200, I'm sure. But again, the Them brand is not the budget brand. Like, he's always kept that at a higher price point, just like the clothing is at a higher price point.
Yeah,
and that's,
absolutely.
You know, part of the brand. So, yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into marketing and branding. More than just shipping a cool skate or a cool product. Like, there's a lot that you have to consider, from pricing to distribution to which shops carry it to which people are skating them, like who your team is, like who you want to be associated with. Like, there's a lot of things that you need to consider.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think he's doing a really fantastic job. He polished the turd, that's for sure. You know, I think we can objectively agree that the 908 was not the best looking skate.
No. Made it work. And now, I mean, to see what the 909 has become with the custom intuition is really, really cool. Did you see that he's opening a shop in New York? Did you see that post today?
You might not have seen it. I saw some of the teasers from before. And then, like, I feel like I was also at the same time seeing Them NYC as, like, a pop-up kind of thing. So if he's opening like a legit brick and mortar store in New York. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's the way that I understand it. So they had the pop-up shop, and according to the post, it was a big success, which it looked like it, like there were a ton of people there. It is a coffee shop / skate shop, so it's not just a skate shop, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Especially because it gets cold in New York. So, yeah. Like, people are not going to be coming in looking for skates in winter. And if they are, I don't know. I don't know how many. having really good coffee, and if they're, you know, getting more into the street fashion, like that sort of clothing stuff, which just basing by their last like clothing drop, it feels like they're leaning a little bit heavier into that. Yeah. I think there could be a welcome addition to, you know, New York having an actual shop that you could buy skates. Like, I don't think there is one now. And I don't know New York, but I know there's no custom skate shop, like aggressive skate shop. There might be something that carries stuff, but like very, very small. But the amount of people in New York, the amount of skaters, let alone people in New York that could purchase skates, like, I don't know what the rent is there or how they're figuring out financially, but I love experiments. It's an amazing experiment. I hope, wish them success, and I hope that it tells us something about, opening up stuff in New York.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I hope it does well. I hope it doesn't damage the company at all. You know, I think it's a cool idea, especially marrying it with a coffee shop, because there's two things that I usually see in New Yorkers' hands. Either a cup of coffee or their fists.
Rollerblades. Oh, yeah.
But no, it'd be fantastic to see that thrive. I'd like to see John eventually become a threat to Starbucks. I don't know if it'll ever happen because they make a fuck ton of money. But
yeah, I don't know if that's his goal.
No, I doubt it.
But yeah, having a sustainable, like, he's been to the coffee for a while, having a sustainable business. Rollerblading is tough. You know, it is very cyclical. It's very based on the weather. Summer was rough. I'm speaking with a lot of shops, and, you know, with the economy being slow and with it being super hot, the amount of people who wanted to go out and skate, especially in like the dog days of August, it was really, really slow. Yeah. And that's just blading. Like, there's nothing around it. September has been great. So far in October, it's, you know, going gangbusters. So who knows what was going on in August, but it's a very difficult market to have a consistent, like, I got to pay the rent, I got to pay the mortgage, like, having a livelihood out of. I wish anybody trying to do it the best of luck and support.
100% agreed.
Speaking of John, so I'm going to be going out to California in the end of the month for Blading Cup. We're going to have a booth for Standard. We're going to have a booth for Fitty Fitty. We'll probably bring some other stuff too, if you're interested in picking up some of the new stuff. We'll have, red frames, and we've got a few more things that we're going to be announcing this month. So it's going to be a nice event for us to have those for people to hold, purchase, whatever. We will have Omni V2 out there for people to try on. So I've had a few people asking already if there was a timeline on Omni V2. Production has started. It started last month. It takes some time to get everything produced. But we will have some announcements later this month, October. And we will have, the factory has promised me, that we will have skatable samples for people to try on, including the new extra small shell. So you can try them on, see what the liners feel like, bring your own liners if you want to try them on. You could swap in your frames, you could skate our frames, see what you prefer. But the goal is to get as many feet in the skates as possible. You know, I think it's like the old rollerblade van days, you know, the more people that you can get skating your skates, the more people are going to skate.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to help more people skate. You know, if you come out to Blading Cup and you try them on and you're like, they're not for me, that's cool. Like, at least you're out here skating. Maybe you'll go out and buy another pair of skates. At least you're part of the community. You come out to the event. Like, those are all things that are going to help blading in general, which, you know, ultimately helps me. So I want to make sure that we've got skates that people can try on. It's one thing to hold them. It's another thing to actually skate them. It is the last weekend of October. I think it is October 31st and November 1st. Friday and Saturday are the 2 days of the event. Team's going to be out there as well. Standard team. I'm sure some of the 50-50 teams coming out. The overlaps, Stefan and Yandi will be there. I'm not sure if Farmer and John Fromm are coming out. I think, who else is going to be there? I think Becky's going to be there. I think Tina's going to be there. So we should have some good representation on some of the brands. It's going to be a really great event. I always encourage people to come out to Blading Cup. It's less of a sit down and watch skating event. It's more of a bring your skates, enjoy the day, skate around, have fun, be part of the community. It's kind of like an event versus a competition. So those are the sort of events that I really get into, just like the Crowder event in spring out here in Raleigh. It's more like a Lollapalooza style thing where there's a lot of different activities to participate in. If you are part of the culture, if you are a rollerblader, you owe it to yourself to come to one of those events, because even if you're just going to be a wallflower and hang out and watch, it's a lot of fun to see people skating at a high level, even not at a high level, but just see people pushing themselves. If you don't get to skate with people, there's a good opportunity to skate with people. I absolutely love it. I heard really good things about the spring event. It was in Malaysia, I think. I didn't go out to that one, but I plan on going to every future California one. I think the California ones are only going to be in fall, and then they're going to do the Asia Blading Cup in spring, but I'm not sure about that. I just based on the turnout, it seemed like a really, really good event. So I hope that they're able to do that again next year.
That's awesome. Yeah, every Blading Cup, like I could feel what might be like to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because like those events, like what year is it? You know, Grindsgiving that we did with Angie last year has been amazing. Like feeling that anticipation build up when someone goes to drop in on something and they're just like, and you know, like they're going to do something cool and they do. And it's awesome. Like everybody gets pumped, like everyone's excited. And then usually I drop in and fuck the vibe up.
But I'm right there with you.
Yeah. But I mean, like just like you're talking about, it's awesome to feel like that anticipation swell. Like, is he going to land that hurricane topsail and stuff like that? Like when he does, like the shared euphoria, just like, yes.
Yeah.
Like I'm bummed I'm not going to be there, but you know, it'd be one of these days.
We will get you out there. What I love about Blading Cup versus the old Blading Cup. So this is what, their 15th year, I think they're doing. I think they announced that 20th year. Was it? They've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
The old Blading Cups were definitely more like an ASA event. And the problem with ASA events is you would go and watch and then you would go home. Or if you weren't competing, you would just sit and watch your friends skate.
Yeah.
This is different. This is booths. This is, you know, there's events at night. There's usually like interviews, and I think they're doing an airborne retrospective.
That's cool.
With whatever his name is that played Mitchell from Airborne. Chris McGovern, is that his name?
No.
What the hell is his name?
Oh, damn it. I don't want to Google it yet. Shane?
Okay, I won't tell you. Shane McDermott?
Yes. That's it. Or was he the guy that played Brink?
I don't know, dude.
Shit.
I've already Googled it. It's Shane McDermott.
Okay.
It is Shane McDermott. It is different. It is a weekend event. And you bring your skates and you have fun and you skate around. And like, that's what I love. You know, those sort of events where everybody gets together and has fun. That's where the community is now. We're not in a sit and watch people skate world. We're in a everybody is skating together world. There will be a competition. The street course is probably not going to be much different than it was last year, which is an improvement on the year before, but it's not going to be the most challenging street course. It will be a bunch of weird objects that you're going to have to figure out something cool on. And it is a real differentiator from the pros to the non-pros, because the things that they're doing on these tricks, you wouldn't even think about, or these obstacles you wouldn't even think about.
Yeah.
Like when I skate a thing, it's very different than what Brian Weiss does on a thing. Like he is up on the side, he's, you know, toe rolling on a thing. And I'm like, I don't even see that happening. Like you're not even skating right now.
Yeah. You're doing black magic.
Yeah. And that's what's amazing to see in person. You know, you see an object, I see a soul grind, somebody else sees something completely different. Like watching these guys and girls at this high, high level do things on objects that you were just skating an hour ago.
Yeah, you're like, how did you think of that shit?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Like even down to like the more, you know, skate up, slide down, skate up, slide mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. Even with that stuff, like there's people that see things that I just don't, or I see it and I'm like, that's not possible because I don't see someone do it. And then once I see how they accomplish it, I'm like, oh, totally. That might actually be possible.
Yeah, because somebody did it. That was that Tony Hawk quote. If somebody did it, then it's possible.
Yeah, like absolutely.
Being the first to do a trick is the hardest thing because you don't know that it's a thing. But yeah. As soon as somebody did it, infinitely easier because you know that it can be done.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the stuff when we were there at the compound. I mean, mm-hmm. with Hood Panda and everything like that. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't really think that anyone could do that down ledge because this is too fucking steep. Yeah, I'm like, how is this possible? And then I think you soul grinded it. And I felt like a little girl, a little not doer.
Did you know Shred? Did you see the Faction video?
Oh yes, that was fantastic.
Yeah. Good did job, he do the Blake. Transfer? Yeah, did you do the transfer on that video, or was it in something else?
No,
he transferred from the mini to the box.
Yeah. So when we were there, I was talking with Clark and asked about people doing that. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Yeah, like Cam does it from the transition to the mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. the thing, and he does it from the deck, and mm-hmm. the disaster's down." I'm like,
scary. What the fuck? Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Like I would like to see someone do like a back royale on the coping on that, and then at least transfer down into the and land on the bank. I think that'd be really neat.
Yeah.
I don't know who has the cojones to try that though.
I don't know.
I know I don't.
Huh. I think John did he transfer? I don't know if he transferred. I know that he hurricane topsailed the kink box on the left.
I think that was in the video. He did the blank too. Yeah, it was phenomenal. Like I loved that trick. He did another one where he did like a true spin front farfig and mm-hmm. then reverted to like a 270 topsail.
Or
something like that. And I was like, gee.
It might have been fish. Yeah.
Either way, it melted my damn brain.
Yeah.
And I messaged him immediately. I said, that was amazing.
Yeah. To see, I mean, again, to see people on that level skating the obstacles it's a lot of fun.
It really is.
It just puts everything in perspective for you. I hope that I can meet people at Blading Cup. Please come out if you're in the area, if you, are listening to this. I think my round trip ticket from North Carolina was $450, I think. So
it's a steal nowadays.
Yeah, it's not crazy pricing. We'd love to get you out there. I think I fly in on Wednesday and then I fly back on Sunday. So okay. I'm just there for a few days. But yeah, it's going to be a really, really great event. Hope to see everybody there.
So in one thing, if you do attend and you go to see the law, one thing that he's not going to tell you is he'll give you a coupon or like a discount code for however long you can hug him until he tries to punch you.
That's so my
for every second you get a percentage point.
I love doing that.
Please don't aggressively hug Laud. Please don't. And definitely not on my behalf. Someone's going to do it because I fucking said it and I laughed about it. So I'm sorry that I set that up.
it's fine. I don't mind the hugs. I got my vaccines, all of them. So I should be okay. Unfortunately,
fuck, I didn't even think of that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good. Unfortunately, I won't be skating this year. So, okay. I got to take a break. You know, I hurt myself. When was that? 3 months ago, I think. No, 2 months ago. I don't know when it was.
This is your back, right?
Yeah, so I've been hurting my back a lot lately, and it's a thing that I did famously trying to put my skates on, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? I don't remember when it was. It's happened a bunch, though. Like, probably once a year it does this, where I just pull the wrong way, and it just extends, and the muscle just zoinks, and then, like, it feels like it inflates into a balloon, and I'm just like, I can't move. This last one was really bad. And it came a couple weeks after it happening again. And it's happened a couple of times this year. Not to a point where it hurt, but to a point where I could tell that it was about to. Like, my wife always says, you know, she gets Charlie horses from time to time. Mm-hmm. And she says, like, the worst feeling is that second before you get a Charlie horse.
When you can feel
it start. It's going to happen. Yeah. Yep. And it hasn't hurt, but it's like, I know it's going to. That's the feeling that I got in my back. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do anything. So you just kind of sit down and breathe, and drink your water, and like, I'm not going to do anything. Anyway, it zapped me pretty bad last month. And it's one of those things that I finally am taking seriously. I think that I was able to avoid it for so long because I was skating so much. You know, when I was playing ice hockey, I would play, you know, twice a week. If I wasn't playing, I was working out, and I was keeping in really good shape. Going back to aggressive, you know, there was a time that I was skating at least once a week because I was making a video every week. And my back would go out maybe once a year, every other year, every, you know, 16 months or so. Not often. It would go out, but usually it was during winter, you know, when my muscles were cold and I was trying to do something before I was warming up.
Yeah.
This is different. You know, it's been hurting almost every time I go skate. And my theory was that whatever I was doing before that kept me in shape by skating every week, I'm not doing now, obviously, because I'm not skating. And that is a problem. So I went to my orthopedist 2 weeks ago, and they took some x-rays and they checked it out. And I have some what's called degeneration, which I guess is a common occurrence. You know, as you get older, the discs, you know, they end up just kind of not healing as quickly as they used to. And it looks like they're just kind of slowly, like, losing the squish. It's kind of like, I don't know if you like with a wheel, like, it kind of loses the bounce that it used to have.
Yeah.
So I have two discs that have that problem. And that's definitely contributing to it. Jeez. But overall it's fine. Like, there's nothing that, you know, I need surgery or anything like that. The physical therapist that I went to this week, as a consult after getting the x-ray, says that what I'm doing is absolutely fine, but you're going to have to strengthen those muscles. And that's something that I've always kind of taken for granted. You know, as you get older, you need to keep your body in shape. And I had tried multiple different core exercises, but because core isn't a thing that you can see, like, if I do, like, I do push-ups again now, and I have a little app that I put on the floor, and it has a big button, and you do a push-up and you hit your nose to your phone on the button and it counts the push-up for you. So you can check that you're doing a full push-up, and your form, you know, is debatable. Like, you got to do your form. It's not going to help you with that. But
yeah,
the fact that you go down and up, it can track by your nose tapping the phone. That's a measurable like exercise. So I do 20 push-ups. I can see that 20 push-ups is a lot easier today than it was yesterday. And it's a lot easier than it was the week before. And it's like there's an improvement. With core exercises, it's not as noticeable.
True.
So I always kind of fall off. You know, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, is this making any difference at all? And is this the right core exercise that I should be doing? Like, I don't know. Like, it all kind of goes into this bucket of exercise. And it's like, well, how do I measure that this is doing anything for me? You know, am I just wasting my time? Like, my biceps aren't getting any bigger. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My stomach isn't getting any flatter. I'm not losing any weight. Like, what am I doing? And the physical therapist, you know, heard me and was like, these are the exercises that you should be doing for this situation. And there's, you know, I'm starting with three very small exercises, nothing too crazy, but it's really focusing on like the specific muscles that I need to strengthen in order to support my lower back when I'm skating. And okay. I need to stay on that for a week. And then he's going to add some more exercises next week and then probably more exercises the third week. And then I'll probably be done. And then I'll just need to stick on those exercises for a while so that I can strengthen myself. And that's just a thing that I'll do. Like I do my stretches every morning. I'll need to do these exercises every time. So I will keep people posted. I talked a little bit about this on Gear Talk. I don't know when we're going to do another podcast, but I will definitely keep people posted either on socials or on the Gear Talk or on the podcast about the workout and how physical therapy is going and such. But he did say that skating was really good for me, that I should continue skating. But the high impact, the jumping, the transitions, the, you know, and anything where I'm pumping and yeah, exactly. Stop that. Like, don't do that for a while. Get yourself into shape. You know, I'll continue to skate my 90s. Absolutely fine. I can skate, you know, from my house down the street and back is a good 2 miles.
Nice.
So I'm able to do that and just cruise down, cruise back on my 90s. And it's just, you know, at the end of the skate, I have a, you know, an elevated heart rate. I'm sweating a little bit. I can feel it in my legs. I'm like, perfect. Like, that's exactly what I want to do. And then in addition to that, I'll do these exercises. They only take like 15 minutes or so. And I only do them once a day for now. But hopefully in time, I'll be able to strengthen up that area so that my body can support my, you know, upper torso. Which I think is the problem. When I land off of a grind, my lower body compresses and my quads are strong to keep that, you know, stationary, that hip area stationary.
Yeah.
But my upper body doesn't have the strength to stay where it needs to. And it kind of goes all over the place. Oof. Strengthening your abs, tightening your abs when you're doing those, helps a lot. And then strengthening the muscles will help a lot too. So we'll keep you posted, but no skating for me at Blading Cup. I'm not even going to bring my skates so that I don't get tempted. I don't want to get hurt. Yeah. I don't want to get hurt when I'm out there because I'm not there to skate. You know, I'm there to work.
Yeah.
And work is a relative term, but it's a thing that I need to be, I need to be upright so that I can meet people. That's important.
Yeah, and if you know, working the booth with you at what year is it or Grindsgiving will be anything worth it or anything mm-hmm. like it, you're going to get a lot of attention.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. There's going to be some good brands there. I think having skates that people can try on. We did that at Winter Clash, and it was a huge success.
Yeah.
Add to that, and I'll do with my... you know, huge, you know, love to the team. Yondi and Brian will be at the booth. Stefan is injured, so he's not going to be coming out. But Yondi and Brian will be at the booth, and they can help dial in your fit. So as you put your foot in the skate, they have helped develop the skates. They know better than anybody how to make them work. And they will help you. Like, they'll say, try this liner, here's my liner, try this, try that. And it's like, we'll make sure that the skates, like, if they're going to work for you, we will make sure that they work for you there. And the best thing is, you can then, what we didn't have at Winter Clash, you can put them on and then go skate around.
Yeah.
And see what they feel like, you know? Like, there's little ledges and little curbs and grind rails and stuff in the parking lot where the booths are. We're making these skates as demos. Like, they're going to be for people to try out. I'm really looking forward to the event. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Like I said, one of these days I'm going to get out there.
Yeah. And next year. This year was a little busy for you. A
little bit. You know, dance card a little full. But yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea. Yeah. If I'd been given the opportunity to try skates like that before I bought them, that'd have been huge.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, you know, Grindsgiving when we were there and you had the prototypes to show people and to stick their feet into. And I really thought that was a really cool idea.
Yeah. I did that right. Yeah. Well, I think a lot and I pay attention, and there are things in the industry that people have done really well. And there are things that my experience with software development, with product development, I would do differently. And it's like, instead of sitting back on a podcast and talking shit, you know, which I am known to do
a couple times,
it's better for me to just put my money where my mouth is and say, you know what, I want to do it this way. This is how I think it should be done. And if it doesn't work out, it's on me, but at least I can't, you know, nobody can say I didn't try, you know?
Exactly. And I mean, I think time and time again with these new launches, you've done very, very, very well with each one of them.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's getting easier, but I don't think it's ever going to be easy. It's still a whole lot of work. This V2 is, I mean, there's a lot of timing that's coming into this one. We've had a really busy summer.
Well, I'm glad for that. You know, for the betterment and the advancement of the idea and of the skate. What's the size going to be for the extra smalls?
So it is the 37-38. It is a size 4-5 US. It is 259 millimeters internal. So if your foot is 249 millimeters, that's probably the sweet spot. Our liners will be rated for 249. You might be able to get away with a padded liner. And, you know, if your foot is closer to 240, maybe a bit of a puffier liner, or you can shove something in the toes. I know that there will be skaters out there who want one that's even smaller. I don't think we're going to make an extra, extra small. Yeah. I think that gets into the adjustable skate market.
Yeah, like, I would agree with that. And and I feel like there's just not enough people to justify the expense to do that.
Yeah, I wish we could. I know a few skaters who are a 36 that would love an extra, extra small, but I don't know that the numbers... Like, looking at the chart of sales, I can see the small... The amount of people, like, assuming that the chart of sales and demand of sales can dictate where people's feet are, I can see that the small, we sold more smalls than extra large, which leads me to believe that the extra small will probably sell, if not as many extra large, probably about the same amount of extra large. It's just based on the curve of the sales line.
Yeah.
I don't know where the extra, extra small would be. Or the double extra large, to be honest. Like, I'd love to make a double extra large. Yeah. It's going to take some time. I know that there are people out there who have a size 13 foot.
Yep.
I want to make a skate for you. It's going to be a while because it's just very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think that makes a lot of sense. So your small and your medium are in that general range, like a 7 to a 10. That's the most common thing that I see on Blade Trade.
Yeah, the medium goes to 9.
Yep.
And then our large is 10, 10.5. So each of the shells is about anywhere from 12 to 15 millimeters apart. Now, most dual shell, dual size shells are about 20 millimeters apart. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty close to each. We might do an in-between, which is like what I'm calling the large plus. Our large shell came out a little shorter than we had planned, and our extra large shell came out a little longer than we had planned. So if you're right at that tip of the large and you just can't quite make it work, you've got a big jump until the extra large. So I'm looking at making a shell for that in between, but again, it's a big expense. It's not going to be with V2, that's for sure.
Okay.
It's the amount of feedback that I'm getting, and it goes back to the previous discussion about feedback.
Mm-hmm.
People are very animate about our sizing. And I don't know if the sizing concerns were due to the ankle being a little tighter or the skate being a little bit more supportive and less flexible. That's something that we are changing in V2. And maybe that alleviates some of the problems that people had misconstrued with sizing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's too tight around my heel. And it's like, well, is it, or is it that the skate just doesn't flex enough?
Yeah.
You know, is it the shell design, or is it that it's just not giving you the flex that you need? We'll find out. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll tell us if it doesn't fit right. That specifically, I've heard really good feedback from skaters that it alleviated their heel pressure as well. So I'm, again, feeling super optimistic with V2, but it's just our second skate, you know, like we're working through it. You look at the big guys, they've been making skates for a long time.
Absolutely.
You know, even, John, I think he's got his 15th delivery with with his new, the Mint, who are they for? What's her name?
Chiori? I don't know.
Is that how you pronounce it?
No. But it's a great looking skate.
Yeah. It's very reminiscent. Chihiro.
God, screwed that up.
Chihiro. I've never heard it pronounced, so I don't know.
Okay.
It's a very similar color to the
Mint SLs.
Razor's SLs. Yeah. But I feel like it's done better. Maybe just the purple, pinkish purple cuff bolt. Breaks it up a little bit. It's not just mint all in your face.
Yeah.
Which I like. But yes, I mean, they've gone through it a lot. And if you remember their, you know, history with the 908, some of them were more flexy than others.
Mm-hmm.
Took a while to dial in that plastic. We're going to probably go through the same process. Bear with us. We're doing our best.
Yeah, for some reason, this skate looks like it just feels sweeter of a color. Like, if the colors were also flavors.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. And it might be that cuff bolt, right? I mean, it might change that, but I agree with you.
But it does look good. It's a great color.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Ms. Azuma.
She's a ripper, man. She crushes competitions. I haven't seen a ton of her street skating. I don't think I follow her or anything. But she is ruthless. I think she won Winter Clash this year. Maybe Women's Blade Cup in Asia. And we didn't talk about the Worlds. I don't really know a ton about Worlds, so I don't really know what to say about it.
Yeah, all I know about that is that Jeff Donlis did pretty well this year.
Which is weird that he was the best that we had to send, but whatever. Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on, you can't deny that he's super talented.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. It's weird that we didn't have a contingency. Like, I saw people coming in and being the thing, and it's like, I'm not against Jeff, but it was weird that there was
There's no one else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly.
So, like, he posts a lot of stuff about him and his girlfriend winning a bunch of money at the casinos. And recently it's been him just raking in wins in competitions. So, my theory is, have they taken all their casino winnings and put that in a travel fund so then they can go to these competitions and Jeff can kick ass?
I mean, if it pays the bills.
Right.
He's still a great skater. I got nothing against that.
Have you seen his daughter?
Mm-mm.
So cute. So cute.
No, I haven't.
It's been really exciting to see Jeff, you know, go through the process of, like, his girlfriend's pregnant. Now they have the baby, and just, like, seeing all the milestones that he gets to see. It's fun to kind of relive those with my, like, relive them in my mind of my own kids and then see it vicariously through Jeff's kid. It's fun.
That's awesome.
I like it a lot. I was really happy for him.
It's such a different world now where we're seeing that side of
of people like Jeff Dulles. You know, I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, anybody. But have you heard of Benson Boone?
Yes.
So he's that pop star who is good. Like, he's popping. He does really good songs. Yeah, exactly. He's not my style of music, but my kids really love him.
Yeah. If you're active on TikTok, you've heard his stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You've heard his stuff. He is skating. He's rollerblading. Like, so his album is called Fireworks and Rollerblades. That is the name of his album. And if you see his album cover, it is him on a pair of, like, hockey skates with two, like, fireworks sparklers stuffed into the back, which is super weird, but whatever. But he's skating Omnis now.
Yeah.
Which is super wild. So he pops up every now and then on some photo shoot or some random Instagram or whatever clip, and he's out there skating. And it's always this, like, it's wild to see somebody on that level in a completely different world. And I love sending it to my daughters and saying, hey, like, look at this.
How cool is your old dad now, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They always are like, is that Vincent Boone? Like, what is going on here? So just to be completely transparent, he is not on the team. We're not doing a collab. We're not doing anything. We're not paying him to do this. It's not a partnership. It's not an official thing in any way.
Yep.
He is a sponsored. He has a relationship with one of the brands that Stefan does social media work with. So Stefan, as his day job, does a lot of social media design direction and design work for a fashion brand. One of those brands sponsors a lot of influencers, and Benson Boone is one of the influencers. Stefan, as a rollerblader, picked up on the fact that this guy is a rollerblader. Like, that's amazing. We need to make sure that we get him out of those horrible skates, because the dude just likes rollerblading. Like, yeah. End of the day, he's just a dude who is a pop star, but he loves to skate. Like, his background is in gymnastics or high dive or something. Like, he's always doing flips and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of his act. But he loves to do them on rollerblades. And so it's like, cool. I don't know what to say about this. Like, the guy doesn't know anything about grinds. He doesn't know anything about what we do.
Yep.
He's living in that parallel universe of people who skate that do tricks, but the tricks are not the tricks that we would consider tricks. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, he's makes just having sense. A good time on skates. And it's like, to be that free, you know, to not have to worry about if I'm rolling my topsides, you know, like, he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he has no clue what a topside is.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants to go out there and skate. So there was a promo that they were doing with Benson Boone in some, I don't know, I think it was in LA or something like that. And, Stefan was like, dude, we've got to get him a pair of skates. So they were sending him a care package, and the brand wanted to do a pair of skates for him. And Stefan, of course, was like, let me handle this. Like, don't recommend do some dumb a pair shit. Of skates. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let me do this. Like, this is what I do. So he got on the phone with the manager and, like, the manager who they talk to about these things.
Okay.
And got all the information, got his sizing information and everything. And he hits me up and he's like, dude, you're not going to believe this. This is super weird. But this guy that I work with is, like, blowing up on Spotify, and he is a rollerblader. We need to send him some skates. And I'm like, of course. Like, and this kind of goes with anything. Like, if one of the team writers say, hey, this person is amazing, we need to send him product or them product, it's always of course.
Yeah.
So there's no difference here than it would be with anybody else. But then I'm like in the car the next day and I'm listening to music on my way to school and my daughter is singing the song and I look at who's singing it and it's Benson Boone. I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is so surreal, right? So we figure out his size and he is a size 9, I think. I don't know if that's too much information for anybody who's listening who wants to leak it to 17 magazine or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. It's a rollerblading thing, but yeah. But he was like right at the shell break. And I was like, okay, so he could be a medium. He could be a large. Let's do this. Let's send him a pair of mediums, a pair of larges. And I'll set them up with two different liners. So he has liners to choose from. Because I don't know. Like when you say you're a size 9, does that really mean you're a size 9? Like we've been through this. Like
yeah.
If you don't give me your Mondo, I can't help you. But let's hedge our bet a little bit. And so we sent him two pair of skates. I sent him a pair of Compass 80s. They're a Compass 72 millimeter frame with 80 millimeter wheels. That's what he's skating now. So he has a pair of white Omnis with the white sole plates, white frames, and black wheels. And they're 72 millimeter frames, and the 80 millimeter wheels go up into the sole plates. So it's a really low ride. So he's got a really dialed setup.
That's awesome.
And I sent him a pair of standard aggressive frames, flat 58s, so he could grind if he wanted to, and a 50-50 balance 2 frame, and a rocker with Stefan's wheels. So he's got the pink wheels on the outside and then anti-rocker wheels on the inside.
That's
cool. I haven't seen any clips of him skating anything but the 80 millimeter wheels. Again, he doesn't know anything about grinding. I think he mentioned that he was interested in getting into grinding and learning about grinding. And I was like, dude, if you need me to fly one of the team out to you, like,
yeah.
Let me know. Like, again, I'm looking at this as the big picture.
Yeah.
Like, if he is doing flips and stuff, if he's getting in magazines and he's skating a pair of 909s, I am stoked. Like, I don't care what skates he's on. I want him not to be on some bullshit hockey skates or some fucking Impalas, right? You should be skating skates that are designed for what you're doing. Even if you don't know what you're doing, like, let me suit you out, right? So we did everything we could. He's taken those Omnis around the world. He took them on tour with him. He goes to Europe. He goes to Asia. He goes to Australia. He was just shooting a photo shoot with New Yorker magazine, I think, where he's on the skates doing toe rolls, which is super weird to see. He was on the Instagram, the main Instagram feed, doing a backflip during Lollapalooza in summer on the skates. It's just such a weird, like, they pop up every couple of months and it's just like the dude just loves skating. And it makes me so happy because it's like this guy probably gets shit from every brand under the sun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he gets care packages from everyone in electronics, in fashion, in anything that could be interesting. And I think he sees that these are skates, like he just loves skating. And he sees that these are skates that are designed for skating, for the type of skating that he wants to do. And he doesn't know how to do grinds. He doesn't know anything about grinds. He doesn't even, those soles are probably spotless.
Probably.
Like they've never been touched. But he's going to put in miles and miles on those skates and absolutely crush it. Like he loves just, he does flyouts from a bank to the flat, like from a bowl to flat. Like he does a backflip on quarter pipes and stuff.
That's
to
awesome. Grass.
And it's like, what are you doing, dude? Like if he were anybody else, we'd be like, hey, like, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing. Like this is against the rules. Like, let me pull out my ASA judge card and just say, you know, this isn't, you're not qualifying for the pro series, but let me give you this leaflet to explain some of the rules. But the dude doesn't have an opportunity to do that because when is he going to? Like, he's surrounded by people who don't skate, who will probably just say whatever they need to say to make him happy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he, I think his manager is a really cool dude and he trusts him and he's probably a really like looks out for him sort of manager.
Yeah.
But I'm sure again, you get so big, like you surround yourself with people that don't have your best interests at heart. They're, you know, probably edging for something. And it's like, guy just wants to go and skate. Like, that's where he finds freedom, and that's where he finds, like, peace. Like, you got to imagine the stress and, like, the crazy schedule that he's doing. He brings his skates everywhere, and he finds a skate park, and he goes out and skates. And that is just, he chooses to skate those skates. Like, he could have anything in the world, and he chooses to skate those skates because he just loves the skates. That's awesome. Just makes me so happy, you know?
That's, I got really excited hearing you tell that.
And it's a wild story.
It and is.
My kids are probably tired of it, but you know that they're telling their friends at school.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about it.
Come absolutely.
I send a picture of him on the New Yorker magazine. I'm like, hey, girls, check this out. And like, dad. And then I'm like, I know that you're going to share it. Like, hey, look, my dad skates. Lauren Benson
Boone. That's too cool. Like, so, Stefan had shared the post from Instagram on Facebook. So I watched it and I was like, fuck is he doing on Omnis? And so I messaged him and he was like, yeah, man. And he told me the story. I was like,
yeah,
man, that's so cool.
It's so cool. Yeah. Again, it's just, I mean, it would be cool to have any celebrity writing your product, obviously.
Yeah.
It's cool that we have a celebrity that loves rollerblading for the sake of rollerblading.
Yep.
Like, he is just out there having fun. And that means a ton to me. Again, I'm stoked that he's on Omnis. Absolutely stoked. It does not extend to our industry. Like, I don't think he sold any skates for us. You know what I mean?
No, unfortunately.
Like, nobody watching him says, oh, shit, he's on the Omnis. I was going to get the new SLs, but now I'm going to get the Omnis. Like, nobody says that ever.
No.
But rollerblading is cool because it's showing up more and more and more in situations where, and I remember we did the podcast before this was the case. We did the podcast when rollerblading did not show up in normal places. And
yeah, true.
The beginning of the podcast, it was like, we spotted a rollerblader on this random commercial in Japan and we would talk for 20 minutes about it. Yeah. And it's like, that's a common occurrence now. Like, you see it in movies, you see it in, I mean, Jennifer Lawrence was on rollerblades on that movie where she got all naked. Which one is that? The one on the beach?
I know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah, she... I can't remember the movie.
I mean, I only watched it for that one scene. That's really all I needed to
see.
She's
really funny in it. I gotta say, the scene was hilarious. It wasn't like it wasn't one of those.
Yeah, it wasn't like a crazy naked sex scene. Or
it
anything,
was a but... hilarious Jennifer, because Jennifer Lawrence is No Hard Feelings. That's what it's called.
Yes, yes.
Jennifer Lawrence is one of my top five like favorite actor actresses.
Yeah,
of all time. She's just so hilarious, great actress, but also just absolutely hilarious. You can tell that she just does not give a shit.
Yeah.
It just makes me so happy. So seeing that, like, that's the sort of movie that I don't think it was not a good movie. It was not a successful movie, but she just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the sort of vibe that I got. But she was on rollerblades.
Yeah.
And that's like awesome. You know? Why are you on rollerblades?
Yeah, right. So can you name another movie that was released in this century that has rollerblades in it?
That's, I mean, Alita.
Fuck. That's not, well, yes, but that's not the one I was thinking of. But there's another one. It takes place in Canada.
What's this called? Scott Pilgrim?
Yes.
Versus the World? Yep. She was on Valos, right?
Yes, she was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The gray Alex Bruskhaus, I think.
Yeah.
Are they Bruskhaus? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd have to watch it again. Mm. Twist My Arm. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. My youngest loves that movie too.
It's because she has incredible taste.
She has incredible taste. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that was a weird one when it was in Scott Pilgrim. I think that was out of nowhere. She just showed up in rollerblades, but it was in Canada, so it made a little bit more sense. A
little bit. They're weird.
It's just, it's a thing now. And I skate, you know, my mile down and my mile back, and I see kids rollerblading in my neighborhood when I'm skating.
So cool.
That's crazy.
I love seeing that. That would
have never happened 5 years ago when I was skating. Like, it was a COVID thing that brought rollerblading back to the world as a thing. And you know, now Barbie, obviously.
Yep.
Huge rollerblades. They even say, you know, I never go anywhere without my rollerblades. That's huge. Like, it is a social thing. It is just, people go rollerblading now. It's not a weird thing to do. It's just a thing that people do.
Yep. Because it's fun.
Because it's fun. There you go. Thank you, Lito.
Hola. Hola, YouTube. Every now and then I get a voice just right, and that was not one of those times.
I'll fix it in post.
Perfect. I can't wait to hear that. That's going to be great. Hola, YouTube.